Good morning. Welcome to Men's Roundtable. Glad you're here. Man, who enjoyed Easter weekend? Celebration of the risen Lord. Celebration of the risen Lord. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know how many of you looked at the sheet this morning. This is going to be interesting. I don't need to take up any more time than I actually have to. Amen. Temptation, and we're going to talk about woman? Man, you just got bold this morning, hadn't you?
I have.
Tell you what.
I'm just following Proverbs, you know, just following the script.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
When you call them as I see them.
Call them as you see them. Well, as you
know, DeRocher said.
I like it. I like it. Deer camp, we've got one coming up in 2 weeks. Be the last one for this spring. If you have not registered, there are two or three spots that are open or questionable that can be filled. Please go online and register. At the bottom of your sheet's QR code. You can scan it with your phone. It'll take you straight to the registration. You can do it that way. Got a work weekend coming up. David, if you don't mind, come up and tell us a little bit about what you need out of work weekend. Please, sir. As you've got a mouthful of chicken biscuit. Sorry, I kind of got you at that moment. But David is heading up to work weekend this weekend, and he's got a couple of requests of special needs.
Be there or you're fired. Now, we just need, I'd love to have a log splitter so we can get some firewood built up. Some of the deer camps get kind of chilly at night. So we like to have firewood. We're replacing a roof on one of the cabins. I've got some metal ordered and pick it up and have it up there. So if anybody's coming that knows how to do metal roof, it'd be awesome. And we just got general cleanup, trying to make the place look nicer. We've got a lot of pine straw leaves, limbs all over the place that like to get up and out of there and just make it look nicer and easier to maneuver around. So I'd love for y'all to come. Bring what you can and just come and have a good time hanging out, doing a little bit of work. Many hands make light work.
Yep.
Is what they
Absolutely.
Say. So, thanks.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, if you've got skills, that's great. If you don't have skills, that's okay too. We still put you on a roof. Work weekend is this weekend, Saturday. Deer camp is the next weekend, 2 weeks out. 10 days out. 19th, 20th, and 21st. I'm not good with numbers. Let me open us with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of gathering here. Lord, I thank you for ceasefire, for the room provided, for the chicken biscuits, and for the coffee and the leadership team, Lord. Thank you so much for Phil and his continued efforts in teaching us and guiding us and leading us in your direction, Lord. More than anything, I thank you that you're risen. Sit at the right hand of the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Excited to be here this morning. Hope you had a good Easter. I want to just mention one little cleanup on aisle three type item before I get started. I got hacked in my computer on Monday, and so you may have gotten a rogue email from me. I was getting replies from people that I hadn't talked to in 30 years in Philadelphia, when we lived in Philadelphia. They got my rogue email. It was something about an invoice and an attachment that couldn't be opened and all that. And so Jeff's helping me get my computer cleaned up and all that. So disregard the rogue email. So had no control over that.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, all the money that's being sent in will be used for God's purpose. That's right. We'll bring it to a work day and get it fixed. Guys, I'm excited about our time this morning because we're covering a really hard topic. And I want you to know that that as we begin this topic on out of Proverbs chapter 7 on temptation, I could tell you many, 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 many stories of how I've seen this passage lived out. The stories of men through the years at Deer Camp, the story that we're going to talk about out of Proverbs 7 may be your story. Sitting in my counseling office at Deer Camp, I've heard this story time and time again. This is real. It's very real. And I'm very sobered by it this morning. And so that's part of why I've chosen the song to start out with. Every Saturday morning, I'm preparing for our time on Thursday morning. That's what I do on Saturday morning. I take Yo, feed my dog for a walk, get the exercise going. And when I get my coffee and shower, all that, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working on what we're going to handle on Thursday morning. And so this past Saturday, of course, was the Saturday before Easter. And I was, in the mindset of Easter coming up. And so I chose this song, and this song is somewhat of an Easter song. It's a hymn, Man of Sorrows. And it focuses so much on the work of Jesus. And if we are to attack temptation and overcome temptation that comes our way, we have no hope apart from the work and life of Jesus. So I wanted to share this song with you, Man of Sorrows. Many of you know this hymn. And just read this one little paragraph, kind of the background of the hymn, Man of Sorrows. Philip Bliss's hymn, popularly known as Man of Sorrows. Bliss spent his early years working as a music teacher, but became an itinerant evangelist in his mid-30s on the advice of D.L. Moody. He wrote Man of Sorrows in 1875, shortly after his career change. But Bliss would never see his 40th birthday. On December 29th, 1876, a trestle bridge collapsed as the train carrying him and his wife passed over it. Most of the carriages disappeared into the snow-covered Ashtabula River valley below. And Bliss himself survived the fall, but was last seen heading back into the wreckage to rescue his wife from the flames. Neither body was ever found. Tragic. Here's the original hymn. I'm going to offer you Hillsong's version of the hymn. But here's the hymn. I want you to listen to the words. And again, just may it open up our hearts to the work of Jesus and give us deeper understanding. We're here because of the work of Jesus. And we're going to continue to be here because of the work of Jesus. The words of the hymn, Man of Sorrows. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood, hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. And when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. I offer you this morning Hillsong's version of it. The words that Hillsong sings is a little bit different than the original hymn, and that's why I wanted to read the original to you. But may you hear the voice of God, and may he open up our hearts to what he has for us this morning. Hillsong, Man of Sorrows.
Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. Our hope is in Jesus. If we're to overcome temptation, we need a greater power than ours. And that power is in Jesus. Be on the alert. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men. Be strong. The word, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Follow with me and let's dig into our topic this morning. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. We need help to make decisions about work, all our relationships and speech and conduct, who to trust or avoid, along with being measured by the plumb line of true character. Wisdom from Proverbs offers insight into the concrete experiences of human life that help us take charge of our lives. And gentlemen, again, this Proverbs 7 passage is as real as it gets in the book of Proverbs. Real life experiences. Proverbs is about how to live out your faith in God. There is no true wisdom apart from Jesus. Fools are those who rely on their own knowledge to navigate life. They say things like, I don't need help. I don't need anybody. I got this. No, you don't got this. This got you. In this study, we will look and listen to hear God's voice and see his Son shining through the book of Proverbs. We will be equipped in every way for our journey. So I want you to pick up your pen. I've got three questions for you. Let's do a little journaling this morning, as we typically do. First question. What behavior or habit are you now engaged that is a disconnect between your faith and your private life? In other words, what secrets do you keep? So I'm asking you to be honest with yourself this morning in that question. The idea of that question is getting really honest with yourself and acknowledging, how are you being deceived right now in your own mind? What are you engaged in that your conscience is telling you, you know, I need to stop that? What do you need to stop? And what do you need to start? What comes to your mind? God, bring it to our mind. Help us be honest with ourselves. How am I being deceived? How am I deceiving myself? Question number two, what lies have you believed would never be found out that resulted in failure, shame, and discovery being found out? And again, you might look at this question similar to the first, but what lies are you being told by somebody else? Who are you listening to that you need to tell them to take a hike? You know, no, that's not a problem. Don't worry about that. Everybody does that. You know, what lie are you listening to that you're either telling yourself or that you're being told by somebody else that you need to stop? What comes to your mind? God, bring it to our mind. Help us to be honest with ourselves this morning. And then the third question, what helps you in your self-control? What helps you in your self-control? Things like daily journaling, daily Bible reading, beginning my day on my knees, literally or figuratively. Here's one, helps us in our self-control. Run! Run! Run, Forrest, run! It's what Joseph did. Just get out of there. Run! Don't hang around that. Don't listen to that. Peace out. I'm gone. Okay? Write it down. What helps you in your self-control? Take a couple minutes, turn to a friend, interact with those three questions on the level that you will be transparent and honest with your friend. Go.
Hello, friend.
Be honest. All right, gentlemen, let's continue. Let's dig into Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7 is a disturbing passage. It's a disturbing passage because on one level, you can rationalize and say, well, you know, I don't have this problem. This doesn't apply to me. And there's many of us in this room that this is very much our story. Part of my story is infidelity in my own life. And, you know, those of you who have been to Deer Camp, you've heard my story and know that, you know, I'm as broken as any man in this room. And I've failed in ways that we've all failed. And this Proverbs 7 passage is a big dose of reality. So I want you to listen to this and ask God to help you see where you are in this journey, both past and present. Verse 13, Proverbs 7. She threw her arms around him and kissed him, boldly took his arm and said, I've got all the makings for a feast. Today I made my offerings, my vows are all paid. She's a Christian. She's a Christian. She loves Jesus, would be the implication there. She's a good girl. So now I've come to find you. How about a little flattery? You know, you're exactly what I've been looking for. Hoping to catch sight of your face, and here you are. Guys, we're fools. We hear something like that, You're exactly what I've been looking for. Wink, wink. Dude, you ain't that good looking. Don't be deceived. You know, I told you this story several months ago. Had a young guy I was working with. He tells me the story. Started drinking beer in my lonely apartment. Started drinking beer. And he drank just enough beer to get in his car about 11 o'clock. And he went to the strip club. You know? When you're drinking beer and then you head out at 11 o'clock, ain't nothing good going to happen at that point. Nothing. Even to go to the Dairy Queen at 11 o'clock, that ain't good. I don't think Dairy Queen's open at 11, you know. And then he sat in my office and he said, you know, I spent all this money. You know, and he didn't want to tell me. I said, tell me how much you spent. And of course, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all relative where you spent $3 or $3,000. And so, you know, I don't want to tell you. No, tell me for your sake. I've heard it all. And he said, I spent $3,000. $3,000? Dude, you know. Now listen, I looked at him and I said, you got connected to a professional, didn't you? That little gal knew what she was doing. She knew exactly what she was doing. So now I've come to find you, hoping to catch sight of your face. And here you are. I've spread fresh, clean sheets on my bed, colorful imported linens. My bed is aromatic with spices and exotic fragrances. Come, let's make love all night. Spend the night in ecstatic lovemaking. You know, who can resist that? You better. I better. Now, here's the kicker right here. I mean, it's bad enough. I mean, the drama is increasing. Verse 19, my husband's not home. He's away on business, and he won't be back for a month. But she's a Christian. She paid her vow. She went to church that day. Soon, she has him eating out of her hand, bewitched by her honeyed speech. Before you know it, he's trotting behind her like a calf led to the butcher shop. Man, the imagery is powerful. Like a stag lured into ambush and then shot with an arrow. Like a bird flying into a net, not knowing that its flying life is over. It's done. You're done. And guys, I've sat with many a man who has been entrapped in that snare. So verse 24. So, therefore, here's the fatherly advice. So, friends, listen to me. Take these words of mine most seriously. Don't fool around with a woman like that. Don't even stroll through her neighborhood. Stay away. Countless victims come under her spell. She's the death of many a poor man. She runs a halfway house to hell, fits you out with a shroud and a coffin. It's poison, gentlemen. It's poison. And many of us in this room, including me, have drank that poison. I want to play a song for you that musically and emotionally captures the intensity, I believe, of this passage. Chris Stapleton has a song, You Should Probably Leave. I mean, I have to chuckle. You should probably leave? And I want you to feel this song. It is the seduction. It is the struggle that many of us have found ourselves in. All of us have found ourselves in this, whether you're looking at porn, enticed by a woman in your office, whatever it is. I want you to feel this intensity and the struggle of the song. Chris Stapleton, you should probably leave. Struggle, isn't it?
It's real.
Again, whether you're working with a real person that's sitting in front of you, or you're looking at a computer screen, it's real. It is a struggle. So let's dive into this and understand temptation. Understand temptation. This idea, even in the first part there, is so incongruent. It's incongruent, and oftentimes is, and you've got to be ready for that slit, that incongruency of temptation. It's a disconnect. This idea of it doesn't make sense. And she is disconnected. He is disconnected. We are disconnected. when that which we profess to be in public and we want to be gets acted out in a way that undermines our whole life. Again, when we call ourselves Jesus followers, God followers, we have bowed the knee and we say that we want to be in intimate relationship with the God of the universe. We want to be more than moralist. God doesn't invite us to be moralists and to be good boys. He wants our heart. He wants us to be completely involved in an intimate and organic relationship with Him. And when we go the way of our temptation, it completely undermines and splits us. We would say we're talking out of both sides of our mouth, right? I'm saying one thing, but I'm living another, and that's the nature of temptation. Pull up Romans 12, Jeff, if you would, and let me read that off the screen. Romans 12, 1 and 2, such a powerful invitation. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. See, our behavior is intended to reflect the incredible awareness of what God has done for us. And so that which we call obedience is done out of a grateful heart, not out of a pursuing heart to make ourselves better. That's not obedience. That's legalism. That's legalism. Obedience means, man, I am so grateful for what God has done. I don't in any way want to grieve my daddy. I don't want to hurt him. His wrath is gone in the blood of Jesus. God is never mad at you. He will never be mad at you if you're a Jesus follower. That's done. That's why he died on the cross, to take care of the wrath of God. But your actions, especially with pornography or the woman or food or drink, drugs, sex, rock and roll, will grieve his heart, will hurt him, not make him mad. That's an important distinction. God's not mad at you, but our actions make it incongruent. I mean, when she's talking to us and she's saying, you know, I'm a Christian. I've paid my vows. I've been to church today. You know, there's nothing wrong with this. I've been looking for you. No, she ain't. She's looking for that $3,000. Looking for the $3,000. She's a professional. She's gifted. She has credentials. But she's being played, and she's playing you. What's so important in this understanding temptation is to be self-aware. You've got to be self-aware, because there is kind of a three-step journey of temptation. What we see, first of all, is rationalization. You know what rationalization sounds like? You know, after all I've sacrificed, I deserve this. You know, my wife won't give me any attention. You know, I work hard, I deserve this. And man, you can talk yourself into anything. That's part of the dark journey into the abyss. And then that which you go toward in temptation is an overpromise. You're going to get satisfied from this. No, you're not. The overpromise. You're the one I've been looking for all my life. I mean, hello? No. You got to recognize you're being played. We just want your money. We want you to hit another click on the pornography page. Keep going deeper into the abyss. It's an overpromise. It's like Chinese food. You know, you eat, fill up, and you're hungry 20 minutes later. You know, it's not satisfying. It's not filling. It's not going to fill the hole in your heart. And then it's an appeal. The journey of temptation is an appeal to the senses. You know, the smell, the sights, the lights, the physical senses. You're aroused. And it's hard to put the brakes on. Self-awareness. Am I rationalizing? Guys, I the Rolodex of my memory is going at a rapid pace, because I could tell you story after story after story of the journey of men who have sat at Deer Camp, that have sat in my office and told me this story. You know, I just thought I could have lunch with her. I just thought I would get on my computer and pay bills at 2 a.m. in the morning. I'd go to my bank website, and I'm going to pay bills. It's 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, about 15 minutes later, you know what you're doing? You're not paying bills. You're looking at porn. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Don't do that. Now, again, guys, I want you to hear me on this morning on this temptation. I don't want you to hear this idea of temptation as don't do that. I don't want you to become good boys and moralists. You know, as we've talked about, these first nine chapters of Proverbs is like 10 conversations with a good daddy to his son. And if I were sitting with my son, I wouldn't want him to hear me saying, don't do that. I would want him to say, I want you to take care of yourself. I want the best for you. Don't settle for a less than adequate lover. Be true to yourself. Wait for the best. Look for the best. Don't grieve God, your holy father. Don't grieve me as your earthly father. I want you to have the best. I don't want you to be a moralist. I want you to be an intimate lover of God and a woman and yourself. I want to show you a picture of temptation. This is what temptation looks like. Now, watch this closely. This is only a 1 minute clip. This is temptation. Watch this.
Look at me. You can have fruit snacks, but you can't have them right now, okay?
You gotta wait.
You gotta wait until mommy and daddy come back, okay? You can't eat these yet. You gotta wait until we come back. I'm gonna leave them right here. Don't touch them. Wait, okay? We're gonna come back. Don't eat them yet. Don't eat them. We'll be right back. We just gotta go get something. Just wait a second.
You know, I dug into archives, and that's actually Roan and his older brother. In that sense.
Oh, gentlemen.
One of the things to realize about temptation is temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. But man, if you linger in a tempting place for very long, it will become sin, right? Yeah, it'll invite you into that. That's why many times you've just got to run. Get out of there. I'm excited today, gentlemen. I'm announcing today is the last day of my 4-month cleansing fast. Yeah, yeah, how about it? And so 4 months ago, I committed to do no caffeine, no alcohol, no tobacco, no dairy, and no sugar. I've been miserable for 4 months. Now, again, you know, it was tempting many times to eat sugar, to drink coffee, to smoke a cigar. If I'd have done that, that wouldn't have been sin. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those things. I've been tempted for 4 months. But none of those would have been sin to partake of those. So temptation is not sin. But I'm telling you, overindulging in any of those things can be. And certainly looking at a woman is a wonderful thing. I mean, the most beautiful part of God's creation in my mind is a woman. And you and I have got to know the difference between lust and respecting God's creation. I see her. She is beautiful. I admire her beauty. Thank you, God, for my daughter's beauty, for my wife's beauty, for that woman's beauty. But when I start taking her into my mind's bed and I lay her down and I objectify her, I've moved away from appreciation, even temptation, to lust and acting out wrong. So this idea, again, of understanding temptation
is buying in to the lie of no consequences. I mean,
again, listen to the passage, verses 19 through 23 again. My husband's not home. He's away on business. In other words, we'll never be found out. Dude, you know you're going to be found out. You know how you're going to be found out? Text messages, email, it's all documented. We can get your records. I've heard this story 100 times. I've got these stories going on in my office right now. Found out. There's consequences, and it's a heavy, heavy cost. 2 weeks ago, I had a wife stand up in my office over her husband who had just cheated on her. And I mean, she gave him one of the most beautiful, heartfelt, angry 15-minute monologues I've ever heard in my life. She chewed him out, and rightfully so. Consequences. You're not going to get away with it. It's not going to happen. And then finally, this idea of temptation. What is your defense? What are you going to do? What's your strategy to stay away from temptation? And the last part of that passage takes you through that. Number one, watch your heart. Guard your heart, for from it flow the rivers of life. Don't be a moralist. Be an intimate lover. And that has everything to do with the fidelity of your heart. What do you really value in life? And number two, stay away from places, the rituals. Don't pay bills at 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, pay bills on your computer with your wife looking over your shoulder at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Whatever it takes to stay out of the addiction. And then finally, see ahead. You've got to kind of be a weatherman of sorts. You've got to predict. If I do this, what's the consequences? And you've got to begin to get into that mindset. I don't want to have to go to my group and tell them that I looked at porn. I don't want to have to sit with my wife and tell her that I acted out again. I don't want to do that. All right, I'll show you one final clip of temptation. Two little Irish twins. I want you to watch this and watch the little boy's mouth. Watch his mouth. Watch this.
Hey, here's your candy, but you can't eat it yet, okay? Mommy has to go potty really quick, and I'm going to be right back, okay? Corbin, don't eat it yet. Don't eat it. Leave it right here, and when I come back from potty, you can eat it, okay? Don't eat it. I'll be right back. Don't eat it. Mommy's going to go potty. I'll be right back, okay?
No, at the my wood.
Oh, gentlemen, gentlemen, I'm telling you, I see you in that. I see you. I see me in that. I mean, you know, the little guy is leaning over. He's got his nose in it. He's rubbing his nose in it. And he's leaned over and he's licking his lips. He can taste it. But he didn't act out. Temptation is real. It's hard. But you can resist. And the way, again, gentlemen, that we resist is not by willpower, by allegiance to the one who died for us. I need a power greater than me. If you don't need external power, or you don't think that you need external power, you are deceived. I need help. I need help. I need help to overcome temptation. Again, not so I can be a good boy, but no, so I can be the man that God designed me to be, that I can realize my dreams, that I can live life free, that I can truly be free, free to love and free to be loved, that my heart belongs to one greater than me, and his name is Jesus. May we overcome our temptation through our allegiance and love for the one who loved us most. Close in prayer. Father, we are grateful again that you've given us this time this morning. Thank you for the warning. Thank you for the help. And thank you for the hope and promise that we have in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.